Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. At age 33, Wendy Shanker was on the verge of have-it-all-itis. A Midwestern girl living in Manhattan, writing for television, mingling with celebrities, and publishing her first book. Plus, she had a fierce haircut. Life was good, then suddenly it wasn't. Diagnosed with a rare autoimmune disease, Wendy knew she was in for it. At the very least, a cocktail of chemo and steroids, certain a challenge to her body image, a bustling career put on hold, and a major hurdle to her dating life. When she ran out of medical options, Wendy found herself exploring everything from acupuncture, colonics, and energy healing to detox retreats, tarot card readers, and an intuitive therapist who wanted her to talk to her liver.
Yes.
Well, Wendy's joining us today, and I'm absolutely thrilled. Her wonderful book, Are You My Guru, is funny and moving, and I couldn't put it down. Wendy, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks. I'm very excited to talk to you.
Oh, my goodness, Wendy. I loved your book. I would be sitting on the couch reading it, and I'd laugh, and then my husband would say, what made you laugh? And I'd read to him, and he'd laugh, and we were cracking up. But it is serious, of course, as well, but you approach it with such humor and warmth, and it really helps open people's eyes to so many different issues when you're dealing with an autoimmune disease. And one of the things that you write in the introduction, you talk about cancer being like the playground bully and the autoimmune disease being like a mean girl. If you can expand on that for us.
Sure. You know, autoimmune disease is this very mysterious thing that not a lot of people understand what it is, and you know, we all sort of know what cancer is. You know, there's a mutation, there's an outside force, something goes wrong in your system, and your immune system gathers its forces and tries to fight this outside force, this what I call the playground bully. With autoimmune disease, it's like your body reads the messages wrong. Your body's somehow getting the sense that there's an attack going on in your system and it has to fight back, only there's not. It's like a miscommunication. So somehow when it's an autoimmune disease, it's like what's wrong with you is you. And you almost feel guilty, or at least I did. I almost felt like I was to blame for this, like this very little insidious voice in my head, you know, that was saying, why aren't you getting better? If you aren't getting better, maybe you don't want to get better. Maybe you don't care enough. Maybe you aren't trying hard enough. And so it was like on top of just my body having to do all this work to kind of, correct itself and stop this miscommunication, I also had to fight this interior, mean, snarky voice that was telling me I didn't want to get better. Because if you wanted to, then wouldn't you just make it happen? So that's why it feels like this, like, you know, somebody making you feel bad, and you're like, what did I do? I'm just sitting here. You know, I'm already in trouble. I don't need to feel any worse.
That's right. Back off, girls. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I mentioned in the introduction that you were having have-it-all-itis. And I love how, you know, you bring us back to 1998, and I love how you tell us your favorite TV show and your favorite current movie, which was Rushmore, which was mine at the time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And your current look, and also what Madonna news was going on. And Madonna is a big part of the book, which I think is great, and I love, and I don't want to give too much away, you have to read the book, but just how you get to meet her, and in different times, in different stages in your career.
Yes. Yeah.
And how she affected you overall. And, you know, the first sentence in your book is, Madonna has a sick body. Mm-hmm. But you mean sick like sick, you know.
Yeah, like, oh my God, what an incredible sick body. Like, that's amazing. And then I'm like, I have a sick body, but it's not amazing. I'm just sick.
Oh, man. And you got diagnosed with something, I don't know if I'll say it right, Wegeners? Is that
yeah,
right?
It's hard to, it's
Wegeners.
Granulomatosis.
Wow.
It's a mouthful.
Yes, it's the first time I had heard of it, and I have a master's in public health. I've been in the health field for 20 plus years, and I had never heard of it before. If you can tell us about it.
Sure. I mean, this is, you know, one of the, there's a lot of autoimmune disease that people are familiar with, like, you know, for example, multiple sclerosis is autoimmune, and lupus and rheumatoid arthritis, but then there's this whole sea of little rare ones, like the one I have, Wegener's granulomatosis, which is an autoimmune vascular disease that generally affects the sinuses, lungs, and kidneys. And basically what happens is your blood vessels become inflamed. It causes inflammation in the blood vessels, which cuts off circulation to your organs, and your organs start to fail, and your tissues start to die. So mine started because I had, it was like a sinus infection that wouldn't go away. And we eventually found a tumor in my sinuses, and I was sure it was, you know, I have a brain tumor, I have cancer, and had the biopsy done and discovered it was this rare autoimmune disease. So for me, it's affected my sinuses, my lungs, my joints, the lining of my brain, my skin, my gums. It's everybody gets like a little bit of a, it's like a potluck of things that can go wrong in your system. But generally with mine, it's sinuses, lungs, and kidneys is the traditional trajectory. And you treat it with steroids and chemotherapy, which is, you know, pretty much the usual course of events with autoimmune disease, only because there's just not that much research. We just don't know what other options there might be. So, you know, in my case, I found that the drugs like prednisone and Cytoxan were just as damaging, if not more damaging to me than the disease itself. And that was what sort of made me try to pursue some of the alternative medications and the alternative healing modalities to kind of counteract the toxicity of the drugs I was taking to fight the disease.
Yeah, you know, you brought up something really interesting earlier about how you kind of, you know, with the autoimmune disease, you kind of have this sense that it's your fault. And I think that if I, you know, understood this correctly, part of your ambivalence about seeking unconventional routes for alternative medicine is they kind of have that a little bit of like, oh, well, if you would deal with your pain and your grief, then you wouldn't be sick. And I mean,
right.
It kind of, and that rubs me the wrong way, even though I've seen myself get better from certain things from dealing with pain and grief, but it's not going to take care of everything. And I'm just curious how you were able to deal with that, because that just kind of adds more pressure.
Well, yeah, exactly. And a lot of the, you know, some of the alternative healers that I went to said to me, you know, you don't have an illness, you're just depressed, or you don't have an illness, you're just carrying around this anger from your childhood, and those negative emotions make your system toxic, and that's what's really hurting you. So I thought, oh, okay, well, this is different, and this makes sense. Yes, I have negative emotion, and I did so much work to try to deal with that, you know, everything from good old-fashioned therapy to, you know, cleansing exercises and meditations and things, and I finally realized, you know, that might be true for some people, but it wasn't for me. It wasn't just a matter of will, you know, to will myself well. I do think very strongly that putting yourself in a positive state of mind and bringing positive energy and positive emotions into your life definitely helps a person get better. But I think what I needed to find was that it's the physiological result of those things. For example, cutting stress out of your life. It's not just like a metaphysical idea. When I lower my stress, I lower the cortisol levels in my body, I lower the inflammation in my blood vessels, I therefore feel better. So I needed to find people who weren't just, you know, alternative doesn't always mean better. It's, you know, there's some alternative modalities that really worked. And when I could understand the physical change that was happening, even if I was doing mental or emotional work, that's when it started to connect for me. Like just, you know, somebody saying, like, you're sad, be happy, and you'll be healthy was not only not true, but really offensive
it
to
is.
Me.
It is. It's really condescending. I'm not violent, but that would make me want to hit
somebody.
Yeah.
That's right.
Just a ridiculous thing
to say.
You know,
and you look at the flip side of it, it's like, what, are all people who have cancer are angry people? If they would just get happy, they wouldn't have cancer? I mean, it was just like it's not that simple, but to some healers, it is. So I thought that simplification just, it didn't work for me. So just as I had to with the Western medicine people, with the doctors, the MDs, I had to find alternative healers who were open to the idea that there was more to this than just manifestation, mm-hmm. that I was happy to do the work, but I needed to know that I needed to connect the dots of what the work was doing for me.
Yeah, you said it so perfectly. And I have to say, I've come from the land of gray braiders, by the way, Santa Cruz, California.
Mm-hmm.
If you can tell us what a gray braider is, that cracked me up.
Gray braiders. Well, you know, I have to say, you know, I came into this with certain prejudices. Another reason why I was so resistant to exploring alternative practices was because I was like, oh, that's what those people do. You know, the people with the yoga mats and the funny names and, you know, vegan veganism. And, you know, so they're the people I call gray braiders, who are like women who won't dye their hair and it grows long down their back in a gray braid. And they're, you know, very defiant about not participating in any of the beauty standards, which I admire on a lot of levels, but at the same time was like, I can't be one of those ladies.
No.
Like, I can't carry my own little bags to the grocery store. I have like a, you know, like I don't have enough tote bags in my life to get all my groceries. So I think at the beginning I was really judgmental, and now I understand, you know, everybody gets to do what they want to do, and there's a happy medium between, you know, just tramping all over the environment and like letting Gaia take you wherever you need to go.
Yes.
And so I think I'm a little less worried about being one of those people. Maybe I have a little more admiration than I did.
Yeah, really. You know, and it's interesting because the first journey you took towards alternative or non-conventional medicine is you went to Albuquerque with your friend Tracy, and you mm-hmm. learned about Ayurveda, and you write something to the effect of, even though it kind of creeped you out that you liked it, that the theory made sense to you.
Yeah, yeah. You know, in Ayurveda is this idea that your body has sort of three elements or three doshas, and when those elements get out of balance, that's when your body becomes diseased. So if you can get those elements even or strive to get them even, you can sort of get yourself back on the wellness path, and that's not just physical but emotional and spiritual and all those things too. And you know, I hadn't even been like, I'd never even done like touch my toes in a yoga class, and here I am with Tracy in like a crater in New Mexico letting people drip oil on my forehead. I thought I was going bananas.
I'd be worried that my skin would break out. I'd be like, no, don't
break
out.
Oh, believe, I had every, you know, I was just like, what do you do? Like, and I was so suspicious because everybody looked so happy and like peaceful and their eyes glowed. And I was like, what are you guys on? You know, who's your dealer? And, you know, it was really, I mean, I went in to the deep end big time, but it was a great wake up call. And I did understand, that was another example. It was like part of it was just, you know, esoteric and out there, and part of it was really understanding when you eat this food, this is what happens to your body, and if you remove this food from your body, then you will remove this interaction. You know, so there was real logic to it. And then there was a, you know, kind of psychic intuitive doctor who touched my wrist and said, oh, so you had pneumonia in the 8th grade, huh?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
like,
that
was
what?
Shocking.
who did you talk to? Mrs. Goldenberg? Did she tell you? You know? So I kind of had to respect it, but I also had to, you know, I knew that I couldn't bring it home with me 100%. I knew I couldn't move back to New York and be living an Ayurvedic life. It was just too complicated, and I wasn't ready to give up the New York life that I had. So it was trying to find the compromises, you know, what elements of this thinking about diet and lifestyle can I bring back to New York with me, and what can I change and what can I add to find something that's livable, because
oh, yeah.
I couldn't do it 100%.
Yeah, and when you were there, too, in Albuquerque, you had a very intense experience with something called color therapy.
Yeah.
If you can tell us about that.
Well, I'd never heard of this. It's color therapy. The idea is that different colors have different frequencies, and then if you shine these colored lights on different chakra or energy points in your body, it will elicit a response and can kind of detox those chakra points on your body. And this sounded like definitely the most ludicrous thing ever, but I was like, well, I'm paid for it. And,
yeah,
you know,
what the heck?
Right. The worst case scenario is I lay on a table for an hour and take a nap. It was so provocative. I can't even tell you. I physically felt electricity whipping around my body. They shined a green light on my heart chakra, the 4th chakra, which, you know, is supposedly where you stash your grief. And I wept, like uncontrollably wept, to the point that they had to turn the lights off because I like lost it on the table. And I'm part of my brain is sitting there going, what's, you know, like waiting for someone to pop out and be like, surprise, we're tricking you. And the other part, just understanding, like, for whatever reason, I'm having a very intense physical response to what's going on, and let's just roll with it. And it was a very cleansing, very fortifying practice. I did it a couple more times when I went back, and had a different response each time.
Well, I would like to try that. You know, something that I'm big on, if people listen to the show, they know, is bioenergetic therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother died when, I know your mother died when you were 10, and
mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry. And my mother died when I was in my 20s, and I still had held on to a lot of grief, and I was doing this bioenergetic therapy, and I was crying so hard, I couldn't stand up.
Yeah.
I, like, fell to the floor. I had just gotten to this place, and it was such a release. And such a relief, too, right? I mean, because there's stuff that is in there. And it was, I think, contributing to my having some real intense food sensitivities. I mean, nothing super serious, but enough that just getting rid of that grief can help. But again, back to what we talked about earlier, it's not going to solve everything. But it was really interesting.
No, but it's like people get things out in different ways. Mm-hmm. And if that's a way to do it, and to get rid of some of that stuff, or open up a little bit, I do believe, you know, holding on to these negative energies can be damaging to us. And let it go. Good, great, let it go. I think what was important for me to figure out is I could sit on that table and have that experience with color therapy, and the next person could come in and do the same thing, and nothing would happen. And so that if I were to go to, you know, the world's most incredible Reiki person, and this Reiki person is going to help you Reiki, 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 and then I do the Reiki and nothing happens, I thought, well, I must have done something wrong, as opposed to thinking, well, maybe Reiki just isn't for me.
That goes back to that self-esteem stuff, it sounds
like. Yeah, right. Yeah. If it's not working, I'm not getting better, it can't be the medicine that's wrong, it can't be the massage that's wrong, it can't be the diet that's wrong, it's got to be me. I don't want it badly enough. And, you know, to kind of, you know, talk about something that's draining and toxic, that attitude will really slow you down.
When did it shift for you, that attitude, the self, or is it still in process of shifting and not blaming yourself?
It's still in process. I definitely, the blame I've really let go of. I think the thing that I'm still working on is this idea that everything is absolute. Like, even the name of the book is Are You My Guru? And it was like I was stuck on this idea that it just had to be one person, one thing that was the right thing. And this process of being aware that there are many gurus and many parts of a treatment plan that work for me, and mixing Western and Eastern and traditional and non-traditional, and considering myself a guru, that was really,
yes.
That's sort of the last little piece of the puzzle, the idea that my self-awareness was powerful, and that nobody knew me better than I knew myself, so that I could meet these enlightened, smart, thoughtful people from whatever kind of practice they came from, and hopefully they could pool their expertise with mine, and we could work on it together, and, you know, to stop sort of giving away all that power to whoever I was trying to work with at the time, and to find doctors who knew that I was still going to take vitamins, and I'm still going to take herbs, and I'm still going to do yoga, and to find alternative practitioners who understood I was still going to take medicine. I just couldn't, you know, afford to take the risk of not taking medicine. So, you know, including myself as one of those gurus is sort of the last piece of the puzzle, and that's the part that I'm working on now.
Oh, that's great. You know, and in the title, Are You My Guru? How Medicine, Meditation, and Madonna Saved My Life.
Mm-hmm.
Is the meditation, I figure that must be a big part of things as well. And how is that going for you? I can't seem to turn off my monkey mind.
Lisa, yeah, you and me both. I mean, I feel like I hope somewhere I'm getting credit for trying hard, because it is still, it's. I feel the same way that doing meditation, I feel the same way when I would hear somebody talk about, like, yeah, I ran 13 miles and I just hit this blissful point where the endorphins were rushing, and it's so, and I'm like, how come I never hit that blissful point? And I'm still waiting for that moment where my brain just kind of takes off and does its own thing. It is hard for me to get there. But I do feel like that is one of the most useful tools I can have in terms of trying to, you know, make the monkey chill out a little bit, yeah. and give myself, you know, and make sure my whole day doesn't get away from me. In terms of, you know, the lunacy of phone calls and emails and to-do lists, and it's, you know, to lock in this time that even if I don't meditate well, quote-unquote, that at least I'm making the effort. And I feel like that is, again, a physiological response. It calms your body down. You're focusing on breathing. It, you know, changes your heart rate. And so I can see in a real tangible way how it's a helpful thing. But the best thing about meditation was that a doctor, a hepatologist, a liver specialist said to me, you know, you should think about meditation. I can't tell you exactly how it works, but I know that it prepares the body to accept healing in a way that people who don't do it don't have access to.
Oh.
And that came from a Western, you know, doctor. And so that's the kind of person who I feel really comfortable with right now.
So he's not the guy that told you to talk to your liver.
Not the person who told me. This is, I'll tell you, there's a modality that not a lot of people know about, which is called cranial sacral massage. Have
oh,
you
yes.
ever tried that?
I had that on my daughter. She has some neurological stuff and some other issues going on. So.
Okay. So it's really, it's very interesting. And I had a really wonderful practitioner who helped me with that. And as a result of, you know, all this other problems with medication and medical situations, I also was having terrible trouble with my liver and was just so frustrated. It was like, in addition to everything else, now my liver's not working. Yeah. And she said, have you ever talked to your liver? And I was like, what do you mean talk to my liver? She's like, have you ever said, hey, liver, thanks. You're doing a really good job and you've gotten me this far. And of course, I'm like, no, I haven't. Thank you. But you are welcome to just chat it up with my liver. And it sort of turned into a joke, like that I have a liver. Her name is Laverne. She wears cute brooches. You know, I kind of gave her personality as a joke. But then it wasn't in a joking way that I started kind of like saying, like, hey, Laverne, pretty rough day today with all that chemo drip, huh? And I did sort of start to think of personify my liver a little bit.
Yeah,
and I did,
yeah, I think it makes sense.
Yeah, and then sort of every other organ kind of got a personality too. So, like Steve the spleen, his real downer, and you know, like there. So it started as a joke, but once I really actually thought about my organs having a personality, it was like the idea of my body being just this thing started to crumble a little bit. Like, I actually had to think about all those different pieces working together as well as they work when they work well, as opposed to thinking about all the failures that were going on.
Mm-hmm.
So so what she was really telling me was, why don't you just listen to your gut, you know?
Yeah.
Talk
and,
to your liver
with
your gut. Gary the gut.
Gary the gut. Does he wear, like, cool hats?
Or? Right, yes, of course. But, you know, that and listen to your gut, I finally understood as, you know, respect your instincts, respect that your body has answers if you pay attention to it, and if you listen, you can get the answers from your body. And if she had said, you know, she approached it in a really foofy way, but trust yourself, listen to your body, listen to your gut, like that, yeah, mm-hmm, I get it, okay.
Yeah. Now, you had mentioned Dr. Frank Lipman from the 1111 Wellness Center, and I love him. I interviewed him. I read his books. I think he's fabulous. Now, he does sort of a combination or more on the Eastern side or the complementary side.
Mm-hmm.
And he helped you, it sounded like.
He helped me a lot. I'd never done acupuncture until I went to see Frank Lipman, and he had such a great sense. He understood, because he had been trained in Western medicine, he understood what the nuances were of the autoimmune disease, but he felt like he could help me treat it with, integrative medicine. So we did, he introduced me to a fantastic herbalist and touch therapist, and I did acupuncture with him for a long time, and he really helped. I think that helped relieve pain and alleviate symptoms, and he was a great help to me.
Oh,
but he's a perfect example of somebody who, you know, doesn't dismiss what Western medicine has to say, and understood that I still needed to be on medication. As much as I didn't want to be, I still had to. So, okay, given that, what can we add to the mix mm-hmm. to make you feel better?
I think that I've always thought the complementary approach is definitely the best one.
Yeah.
Wendy, I swear I could talk to you all day.
I know. We could go on.
You are fabulous.
Oh, thank you, Lisa.
Your book is great. And you're the author of The Fat Girl's Guide to Life,
right.
which I'm really looking forward to reading.
Oh, good.
So
yeah.
Are You My Guru? How Medicine, Meditation, and Madonna Saved My Life. You got to get this book. It's fantastic. Now, Wendy, how can people learn more about you and your awesome work?
Well, you can certainly go to wendyshanker.com. There's a lot of information there. And you can find me on Facebook and Twitter.
Oh, gee, I forgot to. I'm sure everyone listening is going to be like, you didn't ask her how she's feeling lately.
Oh!
Dum-dum. Okay. Wendy, how are you feeling lately?
Well, thanks for asking.
Sure.
I'm feeling really good.
Oh,
I'm feeling
so
really good.
Good,
and I feel very grateful to feel good. So, especially, you know, on a day like today, when the book is out and people can read it, I feel very honored to be in the place I'm in now.
Oh, well, I'm honored that you came on the show. And if
Thanks.
People want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthnetwork.com. Everyone, check out Wendy's awesome book. Have a great day. Take care. Bye-bye.